So here we have in this book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul speaking to his spiritual children, to a church plant, and to people whom he loved so much that he left one of his own disciples in their care. And this is the second letter, and so he's kind of probably, you know, like many children, we have to tell them maybe more than once every now and again. So he's coming back to them and having to remind them of some things. After the admonishing and after the reproving and correcting and instructing in the first letter, Paul comes back with a flavor of vindication a little bit of his apostleship, of his leadership, of who he is not only in Christ, but who he is inside of the church itself. It almost has to create an itemized list of all the things that he has done before. But here in this specific chapter in which we're going to look at, it's a reminder not only to this church in which he's writing to, but to us as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, of our position in Christ, of who we are as believers following after Jesus Christ. It also reminds us of what our duties and responsibilities are. Not just who we are, but what our God-given responsibilities are. He's mentioned in reference in this one single chapter, in chapter 5, over 10 times. Of course, we would always say, you know, the Bible's all about God. It is very true, but this one has a particular flavor and is pointing back to Jesus Christ. You know, that's something that Paul's always done. Anytime that he's maybe been backed in a corner or anytime that he's been questioned, he's always pointed the glory to God. Certainly, he had the accolades to say all the things that I have done, not only as the Apostle Paul, but also as the Saul of Tarsus. But here he just simply is pointing everything back to the Lord. If you would please stand for the reading and honoring God's word, I sure appreciate that. In chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, we're going to read in verse 14. Verse 14 says this. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Now, to me, that is the motivation. That is our motivation, the love of Jesus Christ. "Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Now, I just, for whatever reason, I'm going to repeat that verse again because I believe it has some significance. It says in verse 15, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, knowing no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, some of you listed the dates in which you were saved. You may or may not, that's okay, but some of you here in the room did not, and that's okay too. But maybe there was a point in time in your life where after you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, things became new. Maybe the old things or the old man, the self died and went away, and you became a new creature, a new man. Maybe your verbiage changed, your attitude changed, the way that you dress changed. Something changed in your life. I often scratch my head after someone receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, and for years, there's been no change in their life. Yeah. Verse 17 again, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God. Would you agree or disagree? So if all things are of God, that means all things. I would put us in that category. And it says this, it says, "Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." To wit, now it's kind of like he's going to repeat himself just a little bit, but rephrase it. He says, to it that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or not accounting, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. That's so cool. Be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yeah, I'll shout that all day long. Yeah, that was wonderful song. I appreciate that. Thank you. But that is so true. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Lord. Good night. Thank you. Lord, I love you. I thank you, God, for loving us. I thank you. Thank you. You're so good to us. Lord, I pray, God, that you just be honored and glorified in this hour. Lord, that all the things in which we've sang about, Lord, would have come from the heart and have been pleasing, honoring to you. Lord, now I pray for all the things that are going to be said in the hour to come, Lord, that they would be all pleasing and honoring to you. Lord, would you please protect my heart, my mind, and my lips and my tongue from saying anything that you would not have me to say. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use those instruments in your hand, Lord, to guide and direct the thoughts, Lord, towards you, that you would be, again, honored and glorified through the teaching and preaching of your word. Lord, I pray for these loved ones of mine before me. Lord, all of these individuals here before me, all these souls need nourishment from the word of God tonight. Lord, I pray that you would feed them and you alone. Lord, I pray, God, that they would receive it with gladness and obey it joyfully. Lord, again, that you would have the preeminence in their lives, Lord, as they continue to move forward by faith, honoring and glorifying you as they leave these doors, being an influence for the cause of Christ in the world in which they live, in the area that they are, in the community in which they stay. Lord, I love you. And again, I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So I learned, is this on? Okay. Do I need this anymore? Do I need this? No? Okay. So I just got water on that. I learned on deputation not to drink like this in front of people, but to drink before, you know, and that didn't happen. So I really apologize. I also learned something, too, while I was on deputation. I think it was over here. My family have recently gave me one of these. Okay, and don't worry, I'm not going to take this out and start whipping it and flailing it around because I think I blew my nose on it a while ago. I wouldn't want to do that. And I think that's why I was given one of these is because I sneezed on this last time. I don't know if this got changed. Yeah, but I hope for those other preachers that came after the sneeze had it changed, but I don't know. I know there's a rabbit trail, but... I appreciate the transparency here, church family. I thank you for your flexibility and liberty that you give me to do these kind of things. So I've just learned a lot. Now, I'm not a pulpiteer by any sense of imagination. I struggle just like anybody, and I certainly love it when the Lord uses a message to encourage his people. And so that's what I want here today. I want you to think about what this passage means for you and for me, for all of us. This is pretty weighty. We could preach probably 101 different messages, 101 different ways from this passage alone and get still the central idea of the text here. But today I want to... The message was wonderful this morning. Honestly, tonight this message is almost bigger than that idea. It's a part of it. It's really about our position in Jesus Christ and how God can use us effectually to where we're doing things that we have never even thought nor imagined. And we're seeing people's eternal lives being changed forever. Tonight, I want you to consider who you represent. Think of just for a second your last name. See, anywhere that I went when I was in high school, that I had the liberty given to me by my parents to drive the car or to go to the store or to go to school, I represented the Drinkard family. Even the places that my parents told me not to go, I still represented the Drinkard family because I carried the last name Drinkard. Okay, so let's take it another step further. Think of today, some people here receive checks from their employer. So you actually represent that company. No matter where you go, where you're at, if you lay your head to sleep tonight, or if you wake up and you go to work, or if you are just at Sam's Club on the weekend, it doesn't really matter. You are an employee of that company. There's certain expectations. We saw this on a YouTube video where a person who was employed slapped around a kid with a MAGA hat, and then lo and behold, he gets fired the next day. It's because that company is like, that guy doesn't represent me. His attitude doesn't represent us. That's not what we stand for. And so it is very true to say this, is that the people who are being employed by the companies here represent them. I represented a financial institution for many years. And so wherever I was in that side of that community, I represented them, regardless of what organization that I was a part, whether it was a volunteer organization or whether it was, you know, a commerce organization or chamber, whatever the event may have been, I represented that company because I was sent from them out into the community. So goes it with you, whether you're in a hospital, whether you're on the rails, whether you're on the construction site. It doesn't really matter. Now, I think also, too, goes to say the same thing for military. You say, well, I'm not active. Well, you don't have to be. You still represented that branch when you served. And some guys like Marines, you know, they say we're not soldiers, we're Marines. They represent the Marine branch. And Navy men always claim that they're the best, and Air Force always claim they're the smartest. And I'm still trying to figure out what the Army claims, but nonetheless, they represent that branch proudly. They're still a representative. You know, I think about on deputation, as Melissa and I are traveling the country, we represent South Knollwood Baptist Church. We represent every single family in this church body. Sorry, whether you admit that or not, but we have a good time doing it. Trust me, we're doing our best that we can for you. And then two, we represent the Metzingers. Jeremiah and Melissa Metzinger, because they're, you know, in the position of leadership. And so we do our very best for the Lord first and foremost, and in doing so, it's just like the song, we give our best, we give our all, to be pleasing and honoring to Him, but at the same time, wanting to have a good representation of South Knollwood Baptist Church and every family that exists. So goes it with you. When you're out in the community and you're maybe even at work and you strike up a conversation, they know, yes, your last name. Yes, they know where you work. Yes, they may even know some of the extracurricular activities that you're a part of, but then they should know what church you go to. And on top of that, knowing what church that you go to, they should know who your pastor is. That's one of the wonderful things about witnessing. You know, you kind of get that slip, that in. You know, oh, yeah, I'm a big Catholic. I go to this parish. I do this, that, and the other. Or go to this Lutheran church down here. I've been going there for years. Is that right? Wonderful. What's the pastor's name? What's the priest's name? Well, it was. And then that kind of gives you an invitation in to expand the conversation. But nonetheless, all that to say is that we have a wonderful pastor, and we're privileged to represent them, the Metzingers, and South Knollwood. But even to a greater degree, like big picture, like when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, the Holy Spirit now resides inside of you, right? You become a child of the King, the servant of the Most High, a representative of Jesus Christ, an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador. Look at verse 20. It says again, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you, earnestly plead here, beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. The mission that we have before us, the Drinkard family in South Knollwood, is to place representatives and ambassadors of Jesus Christ in Leawood, Kansas. I was telling Melissa, I said, we're the second one in over there. The first ones in on Leawood was the Metzinger family. They were in that city long before the Drinkards ever were. There was a piece of their heart left there when they came over here. And then for the Lord to raise up a family to go back to that place, and then other people now praying and thinking and considering, could it be a possibility that we go over there too? That's of God. That's not of any one person. He wants ambassadors for Christ over there, an ambassador, an official representative of a sovereign country, authorized to interpret the leader's mind faithfully to those who he sent. We had a neighbor growing up. His name was Fred Sobering. He was the dean of agriculture at Kansas State University for many, many, many years, and the president saw fit that he would be a good ambassador to another country. And so as a diplomat, he would go over there, and his duty and responsibility was clearly this: to articulate and communicate the ideas and thoughts and mission of his leader, the president of the United States. And so he did. For some time, he served. But he had a message that he brought to that country. So goes it with South Knollwood Baptist Church. As we go into Leawood, Kansas, and the surrounding areas in Kansas City Metro, we are authorized by a leader to deliver his message in the stead of Jesus Christ. As if we were like wearing his shoes, doing his work for him. That's what he said. For Christ. Somebody said that no matter where you are, you're a missionary right where you're at. That's if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior and his Spirit resides in you. I love it when we go to these churches and we see on the thresholds of the doorways or inside of the parking lots a sign. It says you are now entering the mission field. It's very true. We carry that duty and responsibility as an ambassador to wherever it is that you're going. Now, tonight, I'm imagining you're going to go home. You're going to try to catch the last few minutes of the game tonight. But you may be running into someone or something, or it doesn't really matter, but maybe tomorrow. What are we going to do with that responsibility? Listen, it clearly here, if you could look at verses 17 and 18, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It goes on to say in verse 18, it says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's where our authority comes from. All of us in this room as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, the authority is God. And he said that he reconciled us by Jesus Christ. All things are of God. And he's the one who's doing the giving to us. Now, we are going to go over to Leawood, Kansas. We, South Knollwood Baptist Church, never, as Melissa and I, ever thought that this was a drinkard thing only. Never. As a matter of fact, I think one of the very first things that we did as far as order of business, communicating to our pastors, listen, we are not going alone. We cannot do this by ourselves. Please tell me that we are not going alone. So we are going into this place where we get to communicate with authority. We get to have God's message. It's not Keith Drinkard's message. It's not Jeremiah Metzinger's message. It's the Lord's. This is our responsibility, our duty, our obligation. And we have been specifically chosen by the Lord. Just as if the President of the United States chose Fred Sobering or chooses another ambassador or diplomat to represent. And we're going to go over there with the authority not to thump heads with the Bible, okay? Not to brazen them with sharp words about, you know, where they're at spiritually. But to do so in such a way to where we are going in there as harmless as doves and as wise as serpents. It's not the type of authority that was found when a DEA officer stopped by the farmer's field. And he goes up to the farmer and he says, I want to inspect that field over there. Well, he goes, I probably wouldn't, the farmer replies. And he goes, I would probably inspect that one first. And he goes, whoa, wait a minute. And he just gets livid and explodes verbally all over him. And he reaches out in his back pocket and he pulls out this badge and he shoves it in the farmer's face. And he goes, you see this badge here? You see this badge? This badge gives me the authority to go wherever I want, whenever I want. No questions asked and no answers given. Do I make myself clear? You know, and the farmer's like staggering back a little bit and takes a couple more steps and agrees and politely, abides by that rule and steps away and goes over there to work. And pretty soon, as the farmer is working away, he hears this curdlish scream of a man, and he looks up and he sees him just darting across the pasture. And he's just running as if something is chasing him. And sure enough, it was a big, giant, old, mean, nasty bull. For every step that DA officer is running, that bull is getting closer and closer and closer. And just right before you think the guy is going to get gored, the farmer throws down his tools, he runs over to the fence, and he yells at the top of his lungs, "Show him your badge. Show him your badge." That's not the kind of authority that we're going to carry into Leawood, Kansas. But it is kind of cool to think that, you know, the creator of all things, where our eyes fall on the nature which he's made and touched, we represent an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. And we get to carry his message everywhere we take a step. We're ambassadors. We don't have to be kicking a pop can like we're moving down the road. I mean, we're not paupers, we're princes and princesses. That's right, Gracie, princess. We're children of a king. We have an inheritance, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Good night. We have authority in this message. We're not, again, going to do anything that would land a bad name on South Knollwood when we go into Leawood, but we want to encourage people with a message of peace and preach the word of reconciliation. We're not going to rub the gospel in their faces. Jesus Christ said, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you." It's every single one of us. Our authority not only allows us to boldly proclaim this message wherever it is that we go, but it gives us an accessibility and availability to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am. At any moment in time, we can go and petition on behalf of others and supplicate earnestly and fervently and get a hold of God for not only who he is, but for the ailments of others and for the encouragement of those who are downtrodden and for those individuals who need a healing hand, both physically and spiritually. And we watch as if the hand of God coming down from heaven and touching people miraculously and they're being healed. Not some weird just like bonk on the head or wave the jacket and they all fall down stuff. I'm talking about things in which we go and earnestly plead fervently, getting a hold of him and saying, "God, would you please act on their behalf?" It's the same prayers that are answered are for the ones that we see in the halls and De Los Santos and my brother, and for missionaries all across this country and all across this world. If people are getting saved because people are praying, we never have to wait in line. We never have to take a number. We're never on hold. We don't have to get in a busy signal. I mean, praise the Lord, we can go to him. Prayer, yes, is one of the most highly regarded and blessed responsibilities of the Christian. But consider the moral state and the spiritual warfare in which we experience, even in this great nation. I'd say 156 million people are unchurched in the United States. That's the eighth largest nation. The fourth largest let me back up. With that number, and if you think about it, it's daunting. It really is. In Leawood, Kansas, nearly 50% are unchurched. A city of religious nuns, none affiliation. Yeah, I mean, a lot of our prayers are given up to our personal challenges that we face and the relationships that we're involved with and the ministries that we're a part of and the busyness of our work schedule and the goals that we've set to accomplish in our schedules every single day. But I wonder how often we miss the prayers of those lost souls and whom we're trying to reach, whether it be Panama, Brazil, Topeka, or Leawood, Kansas. Prayer is often one of the most, if not the most, neglected responsibility of the Christian. And prayerlessness is sin. 1 Samuel 12:23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Are we doing what Paul has suggested to the church in Thessalonica and pray without ceasing? James says, ye have not because ye ask not. So here we have this opportunity to boldly go to the throne of grace and to find grace and to find mercy, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. But how often do we really pray? So we must definitely stay close to God so that we have this accessibility and availability to the Lord at any moment in time. And as an ambassador's authority, we can do that. But just as though we have an advocate in Jesus Christ, we also have this adversary in Satan. And I believe that we should talk about Satan and preach about Satan and get to know who he is. In corporate America, if you're wanting to be successful, you need to know who your competition is. If you want to be successful in sports, you got to know what the opponent is doing. And here in spiritual warfare, there's no difference. I mean, we would spend tens of millions of dollars, hundreds and tens of millions of dollars to understand what country is not for us. How much more money are we spending to be on the offensive side, to defend our country over there? So goes it here in the spiritual warfare. How much do we really know about our adversary? Peter said that he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, devour means completely obliterate. I can't even say it. It means completely to destroy, okay? I got that part. But he said a roaring lion. And if you were like me, we had a couple channels growing up. One of them was nature. You know, George Page nature, like old original nature show. And it would bore me to tears. It would drive me outside to play. And I appreciate that now. But some of those films were cool to watch. The only time is when the lions were hunting. That's the only times that I like that part, right? You know, and we would sit there and watch, and we would watch these lions just mosey right on up to some antelope and some whatever gazelle or zebras, whatever they're trying to hunt at that time. And you're like, wow, look, they just walk right up to them, basically, and they're not running around. And they don't. They have their heads down in the grass, and they're eating, and they look up, and they're like, oh, hey, there's a lion right there. Oh, hey, there's a lion right there. And then they go right back to eating. I'm thinking, wouldn't you want to move like away from them? But when they put their heads back down inside, you know, for food or foliage or whatever they're eating, sagebrush, I don't know, whatever you eat in the barren desert of Africa, they creep a little closer. And then their heads pop back up and they kind of have a furrowed brow like, did he just move? Did you just see him move? And it's like, nah, so they're going about eating, and they may scoot over just a little bit where there's greener grass, and they're eating some more, and then soon enough, a lion gets a little closer. And they pop their heads back up, and they're like, yeah, that guy moved. Hey, Charlie, let's go over here. And so they scoot a little bit closer over to here, and they may huddle around in one another, but they go right back to eating, not even sensing the presence of the predator, of the destroyer, in their midst. So often we get caught up in our own busyness, in our own schedule, our own spiritual apathy, or our own whatever it is, and our heads are down in the stuff, and we're too lazy, or we're just not aware, or we are willfully ignorant of what is happening around us and don't do anything about it. And then so when we do lift our heads up, boom, the race is on. And that man, that lion is just going 100 miles an hour, and pretty soon, wham! And then we're not going to give the PG rated because we have children in here, but the animal gets destroyed. Right. And so goes the Christian. Peter was talking to Christians. Right. He wasn't talking to lost people. Right. Listen, Christian, let's be aware. Let's be sober. Let's be vigilant. The roaring lion roars not because he's hunting. That would be stupid. I don't know if you'd say that, but I just did. Okay, it's stupid. That would be stupid. Because then he's giving out his locator call. They're going to go somewhere else, clearly. I mean, you could feel the vibrations of the lion's roar inside of your very bones. They're going to move. No, he's silent. He's like ninja style. He's just creeping. And then whammo, he's toast, he's destroyed, and then the roar, signifying, hey, everybody, I got a Christian. And all the spiritual influence that was built up in that Christian, those who are influenced by them, it's going to be that much more easier for them to fall. And that much more easier for them to fall. Be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, as a roaring like lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, if we belong to Jesus Christ, we cannot be destroyed. Our soul cannot be destroyed. But he can ruin lives and he can ruin testimonies. Because we're given into things and the vices of this world, and that is our flesh, when we succumb to the things of this world. So what is our defense? Our defense is just that, be separate from the world. Not the weird kind where you're just off on your own la-la land, no electricity, no lights, you know, you're just a hermit inside of a house. No. The things that easily entangle us and entrap us with the things that please our flesh, so that as we're feeding our flesh, we're starving the spirit. That's why he said in verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. We're not to live a selfish life. We're to live a selfless life. Paul said in Romans, he said that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. We like to skip that word really fast, but holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, implying that there was a greater service that was already done. Christian, have you died to self? It's an ongoing process. It's not a one and done thing. Because he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Often we have to renew our minds over and over again. On a Saturday night, we can't watch 6 hours of Netflix and binge watch and then come on Sunday morning and expect a blessing from God. No, these things are windows to the soul. We're just gobbling up the things of this world in places in which we would never, ever go and do things that we would never, ever do. And we're just ingesting it. And then we come and sit down and listen to 30, 45 minutes of preaching and expect a blessing or a life-changing event to occur in our life so that we can leave going, It just doesn't happen. I'm not saying it about Netflix. I'm just saying about anything. I'm just saying pick your poison. Choose your vice. It could be alcohol. It could be tobacco. It could be just sin. It could be pornography. It could be just anything. Choose whatever it is. But the number one thing that we ought to do is surrender our will completely over to him. Let go of the dictatorship. Number two, we're to fill our minds with the things of God. He said in chapter 10 in the same book, he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth against the knowledge of God. And then bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He didn't say like half of your thoughts or part of your thoughts. He said every thought. At any time, listen, anytime God can do anything in any way through one who is surrendered to him. Listen, the adversary is going to use any of adversities in life to disable our access to our authority and accomplish and trying to annihilate our assignment or us within the assignment. What is that assignment? Look at verse 18. It says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. Now look at the bottom of verse 19. It says, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And at the very end, he says of verse 20, be reconciled unto God. The ambassador's responsibility is to carry the message. The message is the gospel on behalf of the leader. Just like the diplomat in the government, the ambassador in government, he speaks not in his own name, on his own behalf, but he speaks on the behalf of the ruler from which he is sent. And so his whole duty and responsibility is to share the leader's message, the plan of salvation. The responsibility of the church is to send out the gospel. That's what he's telling the church here. to Panama, to Brazil, to Leawood, to Topeka. From the cross through the church to the world. You might recognize that saying. I think that may be on your ring. I'm not real for sure. But that's a saying that we took from a church in Kansas City. That is so true. Taking a message that was from the cross through the church and to the world. And we accomplish this assignment by fulfilling the Great Commission. We are to go and to teach. That doesn't mean just like everybody else but me. That means me too. I mean, me being that if I know Christ as my Savior. So we're to teach all nations, all people. Leawood is filled with different nationalities. You name it, it's represented there. They have medical complexes and financial complexes. They have headquarters from all, large named ones. You know, Sprint, you've seen these things there in the Kansas City area. And what they're doing is they're bringing people from all over the world to diversify their employee portfolio. For whatever reason, that's what they want to do. But what's so cool about is that they're bringing in Persians. They're bringing in Koreans. They're bringing in the Spanish. They're bringing in Brazilians. They're bringing people over from Europe, from Germany. They're bringing people from all over this world, you name it, Australia, Russia, to Leawood, Kansas. I mean, a little speck on the map in the middle of the United States, that's a pretty powerful thought to understand. What are we to do with that? Well, we're to go and preach the ministry of reconciliation. God had reconciled us by Jesus Christ, so he said, I've given you this ministry now. If we looked at the Great Commission, we understand that Christ has ascended, and they're looking up there like, man, he's gone. And the angel comes down and is like, hey, wake up, hello, go. All the things that you've seen now of him, go and do. That's what he's left us here, and often we neglect those responsibilities, even inside of our workplace, community, even from our church place. If you see a new visitor, I don't know if it would hurt for someone to ask if they've ever received Christ as their Savior or a testimony of salvation. His last command must be our first priority. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why do we do all of this? Just in closing, look at the very first verse of chapter 5. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. The song goes, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. There's a diplomatic ambassador for the United States has a temporary home where they're assigned. It's temporary. They're only there until the next president says that they can stay or they need to go. This earth right here is temporal. It's temporary. This body is temporal. It's temporary. It's not built to last, for tough, okay? It's going to go away, and so will this world. A lot of millennials nowadays want to make impact where they're at. Impact. I want to make an impact in the world. And I say it like this. I think anybody can make an impact for Christ by doing the eternal things here in a temporal world. This eternal message of reconciliation can be given because our address is going to change. We're going to leave someday. We're going to go up and we're going to go into heaven and we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. And you think about, what is he going to say at that moment? What is he going to say to us, to you? What a day it will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a glorious day that will be. He mentions house three times. It's eternal. He said also in Matthew 6, Jesus Christ speaking, lay up not yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, ambassador, tonight, looking over the duty and responsibility of an ambassador for Jesus Christ, can we clearly identify some of the areas in which our lives maybe have a hole or a void, in which we would say, you know, there was once upon a time where my life had changed and I was really on fire for Jesus Christ and I wanted to tell everybody about him. But something has happened. We've maybe become too churched to where now we're more stagnant in our walk with Jesus Christ. And yeah, we like to hear about missions. And yes, we like to hear about our responsibilities. But when we leave this place, we often forget what was even said. Tonight, I just wonder if there isn't an ambassador here that hasn't given themselves wholly over to the Lord, saying, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, that I will do. That's a great place to be, by the way. See the power of God just work right through you.